Okay, so we have definitely had a lot of good advice in the last two camp meetings on dating and waiting while you're dating. And last night there was even a book mentioned. There's a lot of really good books that you can read about how to date and how to wait and how to find the right companion. And so I was thinking about our lesson tonight, and I thought, I've got some really good books at home. So I brought a few that I'd like to share with you on finding that right person. So I kind of dug around. This one's making noise. Okay, so my first book here. Wow. This young lady had to completely change who she was to find her prince. That's a great one. Okay, never mind. This young lady was asleep, and a stranger kissed her, and he was Prince Charming, and they got married. Yep, that ain't gonna work. Okay, this one, Danny's favorite. First date. He was sure she was the right one. Didn't know her name. Didn't know what she looked like. All he knew was she had good taste in shoes. No. This one. I mean, the first day that she meets, was it Hans?
Prince Hans.
Yes. He's the right one. He was a complete con artist, but he was the right one. And there was a few books I didn't have. All right, so we're throwing those out.
No.
Like Rapunzel. I've always kind of wondered about that. Strange guy comes in her bedroom. She's a little scared, but after a few minutes, it's all cool, and she goes to see the lights with him. Not a good dating and waiting advice book. Beauty and the Beast. I'm going to change him, and he will be the right one. No.
Number one.
Common theme in all these books. Finding your prince will solve all your problems. Probably, I didn't check. Probably the last page of every one of these books says what? They lived happily ever after. With advice like that, I highly doubt it. Don't get your dating advice from Disney princesses. That's a great place to start. That's my first piece of advice. So, of course, the Bible is a much better place for dating advice or finding the right companion or waiting. Sister Natalie and Brother Ethan talked about a couple that they could really relate with. Do you remember which couple in the Bible that was? Somebody that had to wait 7 years like they did?
Jacob
and Rachel. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had unto her. Now, we didn't wait 7 years, but I'm telling you what, it did not seem like a few days. We will tell you about that. And I thought about other stories. There's a lot of love stories in the Bible. Had really good principles. You ever read Boaz and Ruth? She was married and her husband died. And so she travels with her mother-in-law back to her mother-in-law's hometown. And her mother-in-law gives her advice on how to find the right companion. Oh, and it was really good advice and it worked out well. So let's start with the Bible. Hollywood and Disney has a lot of ideas, but as you see, I've thrown them on the floor. So, Brother Steve?
As we considered this topic, and we've covered this last two camp meetings, some may be interested in not having a companion, or may not be interested in having a companion at this time, and that's okay. Maybe you think that I'm too young. Maybe I haven't discovered girls and guys yet. That's fine. But as we give this advice, and as you've been hearing admonition for the last two camp meetings, this is a time of preparation. Time that you get really grounded in God and establish a good foundation. That is important when you're choosing the right companion, is seeking God's advice, seeking God's help, just like Sister Sherry is saying. I also think about, when you're planting a garden, you just don't go out and throw a bunch of seeds down on the ground. What do? You till the ground. You prepare the ground. You fertilize the ground. You get things ready. You buy your plants. You consider what plants you're going to put in there. There's preparation that goes into that. And so, those of you that may not be interested quite yet, now's the time of preparation. Now's the time to get ready for when that time does come and seeking that right companion. I want everybody 13 and 14 years of age to stand up. Everybody that is 13 and 14, stand up.
Oh my.
All right, I want you to take a good look. All right? You may be seated.
I don't say oh my about you, I say oh my about me.
So, a little disclaimer tonight. This is in no way us advocating that 13 and 14 year olds get together. All right? And start seeking each other out as boyfriends and girlfriends. The only thing that I would say is for whatever reason, liked each other, became boyfriend and girlfriend at 13 and 14 years old. God had a reason for that, I don't know. But it was 5.5 long years before we got married.
We do not agree with Jacob. It was not like a day.
We do not agree with Jacob. It was not a very, very short time.
Not me.
All right?
Jacob in the Bible.
I know.
So, Sister Sherry.
Sister Natalie, obviously that is our daughter, and you learn that advice you're given as a child you pass on. And I remember at age 11, my mom began to say many times, pray for the right one, pray for the right one. And I'm not even sure, I was real interested in boys quite yet. And Steve and I laugh, we did not grow up together, and he was very goofy and has not grown out of it. And so I'm not really sure at age 11 I would have even liked him. So it's probably good that we didn't know each other. But that advice from my mother, I remember praying and, okay, Lord, help me to get the right companion. And I didn't have a list, as we talk about, or those characteristics that you're looking for at age 11. I was too really young to understand that. But there was two things at church, two people that really got my attention. They were both at opposite ends of the spectrum. And one, unfortunately, was a young mother with two children whose husband had left her and divorced her. And she went to the altar frequently, almost like right in front of me. And as a kid, I remember growing up and just seeing that. And I think, I don't know what happened there, but boy, I don't want that. It scared me, put a fear in me. Then there was another one, Brother Donald mentioned, his grandma and grandpa, Brother and Sister Fry. And as a kid, I remember watching this precious 80-plus-year-old couple walking out of church, and they're holding hands. And they walk out to the car, and he walks around, and he opens the door for her, 80-some years old, and I'm going, I want that. I want that. I want a love that lasts for a lifetime. I'm 11, 12, I don't know what age I was when this was happening, but I just remember thinking, I want that. And many times through the years I've said, 80, we want to make it to 80. And now that we're in our 50s, we're like, maybe 90. That's getting really close. But I wanted a love that would last for a lifetime. So my list was starting, and I didn't even realize it.
So she talks about, you know, and of course Sister Cummings is her mother, and then you hear us talk about Grandma Green. And of course, I mentioned Grandma Skeen, you know, last Sunday. And so she has a very, very long heritage of being in the Church of God. She got a lot of godly training when she was a little child. And I didn't have that. We came to the Church of God when I was 13 years old. Didn't have the Church of God background. My dad was a Catholic. And my mom was raised in a home where her dad went to church. But he never took the children to church. It was kind of a Baptist background. And so when my mom and dad got married, they really didn't have a Bible foundation to build their home on. And I thought, you know, there was a lot of turmoil when I was in my teens and as I was growing up. And there were a lot of things going on in our home that, you know, I purposed in my heart, just like Daniel, I purposed in my heart that I wanted something different from my home. And so I knew that I needed God's help and I needed his direction in doing that. I couldn't do that on my own. And young people, you can't do that on your own. You need God's help. You need God's help. You need God's direction. And maybe God knew when we got together, God knew that I needed someone at an early age to raise me. And so in a way, really, we grew together. We grew up together. And again, I'm not advocating, you know, starting out at 13 and 14 years old, but that's just, it seemed like that was the path that God had for us. And so, how did we meet?
So I was in Newark.
I was in Johnstown.
I went to Licking Valley High School.
I attended Johnstown Monroe High School.
I went to the Church of God.
And actually, I came from the Methodist Church. My dad was a Catholic. He was influenced by Brother Bob Romine on a job site. And he got saved. And we got kind of distracted for a while, went to the Methodist Church before coming to the Church of God.
But God had to bring us together. We were never going to meet, I don't feel like, otherwise. No. And so God brought us together right here in this youth room. Back a long time ago, the chairs actually ran that way, and I remember the first time.
And it was about right in that spot right in here. About right in that spot. And
he was wearing white corduroy pants. He was so 80s. So 80s. I had to hide them from him later when we got married, but yeah.
And so the person that was introducing us, he says, "She's taken. Leave her alone."
He wants to tell a lot more than I want to. I'm just saying, I would like to have edited some of this out.
So anyway, I thought, okay, I really didn't have, I mean, I wasn't, there wasn't no, you know, interest at that particular time. So anyway, and over the process of time, she became single, you might say.
Single. At 13. So it was ridiculous. This trip down memory lane and making me want to hide because I would like to not own some things. I said, you know what? We were very young and dumb, and we've got a lot of proof that we're going to show you here in a minute. No, we're not showing you. We're just going to...
Yeah.
Nobody else is allowed to see it.
Yeah, and if I showed you, it would be heavily redacted.
So Steve starts following me around. He started coming to church here, and he starts following me around. And I do want to emphasize again, it's been said before, when we grew up, it was very common for you to get married right out of high school. And so knowing that that was the thing, and that was expected, and that was the culture... If you're thinking you're getting married at 18, you're looking at 13. You're trying to figure out. And I kind of am thankful that as our children, it seems like in later years, there's been more of a waiting. And so the more of waiting into their 20s. I think we had one that was 27 before he got married. And so I'm thankful for that. But back then, that was just kind of the mindset. And so unfortunately, we were quickly looking for a boyfriend, girlfriend at 13, 14 because everybody else had one and something was wrong because you didn't have one. So that was kind of the culture we were in. I'm not saying it was right or wrong. And God knew, and you'll see as we talk, he had a way of making sure that we were well protected and had boundaries and had guidance in those years.
Now, she often asked me, even through our marriage, she says, "What in the world, all the girls here within our youth group," which was a very, very large youth group at the time. She says, "What attracted you to me?"
Ladies, he was a hottie. I'm just saying. Football player, tall, dark, and deeply tanned. Yeah.
So I got thinking. And I told her, and I mean this from the depths of my heart. She was one of the ones that was not chasing me.
Because my mama instilled that in us. You do not chase. That is not ladylike. You do not chase. You will not be calling him. You will be not running him down. And so, you know, I think about all the things your mother teaches you, and you just don't realize what it's going to help out in the end.
It intrigued me because it was like all these other girls were trying to make friends with my sisters and whatever, trying to get an in, you know, and here she is. She's just minding her own business, not paying really any mind to me at all. And it intrigued me. So I started following her around.
And I didn't know what to think. But, again, we were 13 and 14. Very young, very innocent, and I'm sorry, just dumb. That's my word for us. So I turned 14, and on November the 30th, 1980, sweet ladies are all about dates. Years ago, I said, "Honey, November 30th is coming. You know what that is?" He goes, "Don't have a clue." You were out of the shrine. You were out. You're the doghouse. I'm just... Anyway. So November the 30th, 1980, he asked me to go with him. So exciting. And I remember I went home that night and I told my dad. I finally figured out what his last name was. Took me months to figure out what this guy's last name was. And when we got married, I said, "You know, Congress is a lot easier to spell. Maybe you should just take my last name." He's like, "Yeah, no." So... anyway, I go home and I tell my dad, "I am going with Steve Strzelecki." And I think he said, "I'm not really sure who Steve Strzelecki is, but you're not going anywhere." And I will tell on myself, that day he put his arm around me and I put my arm around him and my sister Solace. And bless her heart, she told on us. And I was grounded for a month. Okay, I shouldn't have had my arm around him, and he should not have his arm around me at 14 and 15. But now those parents, those godly parents, are coming into play. God knew. He put us together. This is the man for me. He is the right one. I know it. But I had to have guidance. I was so young. He was so young. And such these godly parents. And I remember Dad grounds me. And I thought, I got to go back and tell this popular, good-looking guy that is super interested in me that for 2 years until I'm 16, I can't call you. I can't sit with you in church. We can't go out. I can see you at church and talk to you, and that's all. And I'm like, he is going to say, forget it. It's not worth it. I was sure of it. And so I told him, and he said, you know what? I'll wait. I'll wait. And he did. Now, I'm starting to take notes at this point, mental notes. That's impressive. That's impressive. And he never said, boy, your parents are dumb. Boy, your parents are strict. I think that's ridiculous. We can sneak around. When they're not looking, we can go back here behind the church. We can go over here in the playground when it's dark. He never said that to me. He respected my parents. And I don't realize it. I didn't realize at the time, but now I look back and I think I was making notes. Because as much as I didn't like my parents' rules, I loved them and I respected them. And I needed somebody that loved them and respected them as well.
And it was at least a year before she would even put in her notes or even say it, that I love you.
And I should have waited longer. But that was a really long time. I thought that was amazing that I waited a year.
But why?
Because it seemed like all my friends would be, okay, this week I like Bob and we're dating and I love him. I love him. And I'm not kidding. The next week, oh, Bob and I broke up together. But this week I'm dating Ed and I love him. I love him. And I remember thinking, you're loving guys like I love ice cream. That's just not the same thing. You don't mean it. And I thought, I'm going to mean it when I say it. When I say it, I'm going to mean it. And the funny thing is, we were sitting in church waiting for choir to start, and I felt impressed to tell him. It was just an odd place to tell you, but I don't know. It worked. So while we waited, so we have to wait, all right? Wait to date, wait to get married.
Again, keep in mind, no phone calls, no dates.
No go to each other's houses.
No nothing.
Can't sit together in church. So while we waited, we wrote notes. Lots and lots of notes. Now our kids have not even been allowed to read these, so
pages. She wrote that one.
We used to have contests. You only wrote me 8 pages, I love you more, I'm gonna write 20 pages.
So we would basically, when we saw each other at church, we would hand this off to one another. They were all folded like this, but she took some of them and unfolded them. But anyway, these are our notes. She says that she's going to be like Martha Washington, and she's going to burn them before we die.
We've been reading them, and I'm cringing because we were 13 and 14 and 15. I mean, we were just so young.
And we thought we were really mature.
We did. You just think, oh, we're grown. We're grown, almost. But what, you can only say I love you so many times after a year. And so we begin to write, well, here's what I did today, and this is what frustrated me, and this is what I think about that, and what do you think about that? And we were developing a friendship. And so for 2 years, we're building this foundation of a friendship that was strong and absolutely amazing. We also watched while we waited. How did he handle my strict parents? Like I said, that one time wasn't the only time. I'd get told on. Sherry and Steve were a little too close walking down the hall. I'm like, how close can you get before you knock them down? But okay. Probably they were right. Because, you know, when you're in love, you're young and dumb. I mean, that's my theme. So I would think about, okay, Steve, I'm in trouble again. You know, Mom and Dad said, I don't ever remember him saying, Sherry, you have got the strictest parents I've ever met. It's ridiculous. Never. And I wish you could have known my dad. He was a very amazing, unique person, and hard to get to know, and I'm not even sure how to explain, but Steve would say, I love your dad, and I'm like, okay, I'm glad, because not everybody knows how to take him, but he'd say that, so I'm watching him. How'd he treat his siblings? We're both the oldest of six, And I'm going to tell you what, if you've got younger siblings, you can say amen. They get annoying.
Amen.
And try dating with them. They followed us around. They got in the car. We would have them. I'd be out sitting in the living room when we finally were allowed to date. And we'd be sitting in the living room and my brother would come out. He'd just have the newspaper and he'd just do this and watching this the whole time. It was so romantic. Absolutely not. He had siblings that got into our letters and read them. I'm like, I am not writing a family newsletter. If you want me to write another one, start hiding them from your siblings. So, but he handled my siblings very nicely. I don't know. Did I handle yours nicely? Maybe not. We didn't talk about that. Be quiet. Don't worry about it. It's fine. I think about his attitude towards church or youth services once we did date. He never said, oh, let's just skip tonight. I don't like what the pastor said. I don't agree with that. So I'm watching. Characteristics. Didn't realize I was compiling a list, but I kind of was. And then we would talk about, and we would look for things we had in common. And we have a lot of things not in common. And thank the Lord for that. Because if we were both as directionally challenged as I am, we probably still wouldn't even be here at church tonight. Because I'm terrible. And if you want somebody to change your oil, I can put gas in your car and that is all I can do. I don't know where the windshield wiper fluid thing is. I'm not sure about the oil. If there's OIL, I might figure it out. So I'm thankful Steve is not the same as me. But when it comes to computers, I've had to help him. So we have a lot of things that were opposite, but I was looking for things in common. We love to read. We go on vacation. It's nothing for us just to take a couple books and just read all day. Sit beside each other and just read. It's awesome. We love it. So I was looking for things we had in common. Then I'd say to him, you know, if we do get married and we have kids, because I'm a little bit passionate about kids, what are you going to do if such and such happens? And then there'd be some standards that were different in his home and in mine. And there were some things he was allowed to say that I wasn't allowed to say. And I'd be like, Steve, when we have kids, I'm not going to let him say that. So how are you going to handle that? I always say, honey, I'm just really easygoing, aren't I? And he goes, you have your moments.
She's very passionate. Very, very
so,
passionate.
Something else we did while we were waiting and dating is we let each other find God's plan for our future. If you've ever heard me tell my testimony, I was sure that my path was college. And I prepared for that for 6 years. And when I graduated from high school, I was going to go to a four-year college. I was going to live on campus. I had thousands and thousands of dollars in scholarships. Kept praying about it, but I was sure that was what I was supposed to do. Steve never, ever told me what he thought about that. I never asked him, which is kind of strange. But anyway.
But you think about 5.5 years up to that particular point, and I'm going like, I can't take another four.
But he
That's what I was thinking. But I never said a word to her.
Then when God told me no. Yeah.
There
you go. When God told me no, when I knew it wasn't for me, and I had to return all of that scholarship money and readjust my plans, then we started talking, and he said, Cher, I was so worried that I didn't think our relationship would withstand that. And I thought, but you never told me that. You let me find my path. You didn't try to influence me or manipulate or anything like that. You let me find God's path for me. And we also kept praying, like he said, kept praying. Yes, we've been together a long time. Yes, we've basically grown up together. We know each other well, but what if? There was a time when actually Steve dropped out of the adult choir. And I thought, what's wrong with you? Something seemed a little off. I don't remember this part, so I'll let you finish it. Do you remember what you said I said to you?
Well, There was a time, especially after I graduated high school, just kind of got lean in my experience. And she started noticing some things were off. And we were sitting out on the swing in her house. And she said, you know, she says, if you don't get your act together, she says, I'm going to have to break up.
I don't remember this, but thank the Lord.
She said, we're going to have to break up. That really got my attention. Really got my attention. So,
we kept on praying. You got your act together. Thank the Lord. I'd like to work a few scriptures in. And I think about, as we think about praying, God has to be the one that does the choosing. In Genesis 2:18 says, the Lord said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. The Amplified says, it will be somebody suitable and complimentary. I was thinking about this week and these people right here. I don't know if you know this, but Jill and Renee and Natalie are the exact same age. They all graduated the same year. But God gave each of them, he didn't give Reggie to Natalie or Ethan to Sister Jill. He gave them the ones that are suitable and complimentary. Brother Donald and I grew up together. I got a picture of me and him and my Aunt Janice's wedding, who is his sister. We're a year apart. We grew up together. But Brother Donald and I were not put together because Sister Arlene and Brother Donald are suitable for each other. When God puts you together, you're suitable and complementary for each other. I like to think about it, and the scripture talks about being unequally yoked. And you think about two animals. What if you put, I don't know what, like a donkey and a cow or something? That would be really...
Or even a young ox and an older one together a lot of times.
Because we're choosing somebody for a lifetime. This is just not somebody I'm going to have fun with. We're going to start a home. And we're going to raise kids. And we're going to work for the Lord. And we need to be suitable and complementary. We've got to be able to plow together. Because as we're working for the Lord, if he's up here working with the young people and I'm back in the back constantly telling him what to do and correcting him and disagreeing with him, pretty soon young people are going to go like, there's something wrong with them. What's going on here? Or if every time I tell the kids to do something and then I leave the room and Steve says, you don't have to do it. I don't agree with your mom. We wouldn't be suitable and complimentary. God knew how to do that. That's why God has to do the choosing. We can't figure that out for ourselves because we were young and dumb. Even though I was sure he was the right one, clear up until we got married, through our engagement, I kept praying, Lord, help me to know. Is he the right one? Help me to know. I want to know for sure. I had such a fear of getting the wrong one. There's going to be days that you love them, that they will drive you crazy. And I will drive him crazy. There's going to be death, and there's going to be financial situations. We went through a terrible financial situation. No idea where money was coming from. We probably didn't feel very loving toward each other during those times. It was stressful. There's going to be disagreements. You've got to know this is the one God gave you. And we knew that. And so with God's help, we'd work through it. God would help us to figure it out. And so on April the 19th, 1986, we made a commitment to each other. And I like to say that we're well on our way to that love that lasts a lifetime. I'm still wanting to be that, brother and sister Fry.
Proverbs 18:22 says, and I got this out of the Living Bible, the man who finds a wife finds a good thing. She is a blessing to him from the Lord. And I would say tonight that is what I've been truly blessed with tonight, is a wife that loves me, cares for me. But not only that, the most important thing is we serve God together. We work together. We're workers together. We're a team. And truly, Sherry's been a blessing sent by God. And she's helped me in many, many ways throughout my life. You know, I think about, you know, when she talked about complementing one another. Again, she has much different strengths than I do. And so we help each other. She brings strengths that, you know, when I need help with certain things, she's able to help me with it, especially when it comes to computer-related issues. I get frustrated, about ready to take the computer and toss it out the window. She says,
honey.
She needs
a lot of prayer.
She says, honey, let me help you out here. I think I can figure this out. Whereas when it comes to a lot of the other things, the household things around the house, honey, I don't know how to do this. Will you help me with it?
Or so, you say, don't you dare go fix that.
Don't even
That's
try.
That's usually what he
don't
says.
Don't even touch it. I will take care of it. But we complement one another. And so tonight, you know, we bring strengths to this relationship that, you know, one or the other does not have. And it has worked so well. You know, one of our daughters said, I think it was Natalie, she says, Mom and Dad, you make it look so easy. Well, it hasn't been easy all the time. And I have to say that it's God. God that's helped us all through these years. Why? Because not only did He put us together, but we've made it our purpose to serve God together and build our home together.
And so I would like to one more time mention the list, as it's been spoken of so many times. Don't be too bound by it. Yes, there's vital things on there that have to be and cannot be removed if you're going to find the right one. But we tend to put things on there sometimes that we'd be surprised later. And so I think back that I thought I was going to find somebody a lot more like me, somebody who was very nerdy, not athletic, not an outdoors person, more serious, and God gave me a goofball, and I'm not kidding, He is. But I've thought about this so many times. I am too serious, and He is too goofy, and we spend our whole life pulling each other back to the middle. So it's perfect for us. He helps me to lighten up a little bit, and I'm like, woo, reel it in, honey. It's not a good idea. So one of my favorite scriptures when I think about us and marriage and what God has done is in Ecclesiastes 4 and verses 9 and 10. And it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. There's been times in life we have fallen. Steve had a stroke. I've had health problems. My dad died. His dad died. We've had times when one of us has fallen, so to speak, and the other has had to pull him up. And God has given us a treasure. The other morning we were out on the deck and I just started crying. I said, Steve, we have been given a treasure in our relationship, in our marriage, by putting God first, by finding the right one, by keeping God first in this relationship. We are so blessed. We've had people tell us, you're one of the lucky ones. I said, no, I don't believe in luck. I believe in divine providence. And when you seek God's face and when you get His mind and you keep Him first in your relationship, you'll have a treasure. You'll have a treasure.